Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show here on Raglan Community Radio. And in the studio, I've got Gillian Marie. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. Kia ora.
So,
kia ora to your listeners.
Yeah, there's a movie on this Wednesday that you're part of organising called Where Olive Trees Weep. It's a documentary about Palestine.
Yes.
And I guess the
made
key...
by Palestinians. And it was released before October the 7th events.
Yeah, I thought that was important to mention that. So I guess for some people, I mean, what's happening over there at the moment is such a big deal that I think some people have become aware of the situation that may not have been aware of it before then.
Ah, absolutely.
But this movie will so therefore be giving some background.
Yeah, give context for what's happening and I think helps to understand the desperateness of the actions that happened on October the 7th that have started the terrible massacre that's going on in Gaza right now by Israel.
Yeah.
Desperate people do desperate things, and the people of Gaza and West Bank have been desperate for a long, long time.
Yeah, I'm worried that all the people who are just the people on the ground and either side of the wall are feeling desperate these days.
Absolutely. I mean, 70% of the people who've died in Gaza, and stats are over 42,000 now, and that's just people who've been registered as dead.
Yeah.
70% of them are women and children. So that's not even counting the men who are non-combatants as well.
So let's go into the movie first, and then we'll talk a bit more about that. So it is this Wednesday at the Old School at 7.
Yes.
Just tell us you know about it. Tell us about it.
I haven't been able to view it yet because it's still on its way here.
Okay, right.
through the vapour. But I understand from reviews and from other people who've seen it and they showed it on Waiheke a couple of weeks ago that it's a very moving film, and it does contain that context of the Palestinian situation since the creation of Israel in 1948 and the Nakba that happened, the evacuation of more than 150,000 Palestinians from their land. That was the first.
What does the word Nakba mean? Because we hear
means,
that.
It means forced removal.
Right.
So over 150,000 Palestinians were removed from their land. They thought they were only going away for a few days, so forced out by the Israelis.
Oh, so they were tricked. It's easier to trick people to leave than to go in with guns.
And they're just horrific stories of that period, and those families have never gone back. So some of them went to Jordan, some went to Australia, they went all around the world, the United States, and those families they still consider themselves Palestinians. But they were forced off their land. So right from the beginning, Israel has had a policy of removing Palestinians or trying to convince the world that Palestinians didn't exist, haven't exist, don't exist. Right from 1948.
So this documentary, you said to me off the air that it's made by Palestinian people.
Yes.
And does it talk about the history or is it talking about life there in current day?
It talks about the resilience of the people under Israeli occupation. They are resilient people, but they have been colonised, and so it's about life for them with their removal from their land.
I think one of the things about it is they haven't been successfully fully colonised. Like, if you look at like what's happened in this country, there were terrible things that happened to Māori people, probably in a similar way to what's happening in Gaza.
Exactly,
in Gaza
colonial
at the moment.
Struggle. Yeah,
yeah. But then the process of colonisation kind of finished, you know, and then we were just left, and things became more peaceful, and then we moved into this period of trying to right the wrongs. But it feels like
Māori would disagree with you and say that colonisation continued in different forms.
I'm not saying that hasn't happened, but this is at the sharp end. Let's say that over there, what's happening is the sharp end of the colonisation process at the moment.
Absolutely,
and there's a lot of resistance, and maybe the fact that the world's eyes are on that situation, which with the power of modern media, compared to 100 years ago where there wasn't that, things were a lot more secret and in the dark. Probably is quite significant.
I think this war it is more visible. And it's really interesting that Israeli soldiers are actually spreading a lot of what of the atrocities that they are committing in Gaza on their social media pages. So they have no sense that there's going to be any...
That means they're kind of proud of what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, which is terrifying to me, because if soldiers do that to people who are trapped in an open prison, which is what Gaza is, it's walled.
Yeah.
Totally controlled, how all
many,
its borders.
How many square k's in Gaza?
It's
What's it comparable to? Just give us a feel.
Its landmass is smaller than Wellington, and it's a third of the size of Auckland, and yet it, before October the 3rd, it had 2.3 million people.
So if you put a wall around South Auckland, for instance, or put a wall around the North Shore, you'd probably get...
Yeah, and they bombed, Israel bombed the airport, so they've never had any air access. And they controlled the waterways from the Mediterranean. The Israeli government controls it. Yeah. So the only border where there was any coming and going really was with Egypt, and that's now totally controlled by the Philadelphia corridor, it's called, between Gaza and Egypt at Rafah. And Arish is on the Egyptian side of that border. That's now totally controlled by the Israeli army. So that Israel is controlling absolutely everything that gets in, which is one of the reasons for the starvation, the lack of food, lack of medicines, and the lack of water.
And this is what it was like before the current event started.
The Israeli control of the border has happened since October 7th.
Oh, so that was the border to Egypt?
With Egypt, yeah.
Okay.
But Egypt kept that border pretty tightly controlled.
So there wasn't. So it was.
It wasn't free ability to come and go.
So that description of the Gaza Strip as an open air prison, I've heard well before October.
Yeah. So Israel has controlled access and people coming and going. I mean, everyone has seen the cattle, almost like the way we would put cattle on a truck. You know, the way people are shuffled through if they're working in Israel and if they have permission to work in Israel. Through all of the checkpoints. I went to Palestine and I was just, and this was in the 1990s, and I was just really amazed at the checkpoints that people had to go through, Palestinians had to go through to get anywhere between villages, even within the West Bank itself.
Very much an occupied
territory. It was totally occupied, yeah.
So when you've been... a supporter of the cause, I guess, is one way of putting it, for a long time. Like, when did you first discover the situation?
Well, I was raised in the 1950s in New Zealand, and so we heard a lot about how Israel was making a desert flower and they were creating a state from a place where there were no people. So I was really shocked when I met a Palestinian when I was studying in Sydney whose family had been removed from Palestine territory during the Nakba in 1948 at the creation of Israel. And his family had moved to Lebanon. They'd had no choice but to move to Lebanon. And he was born in Lebanon, and then they moved to Sydney. And so we became friends, and he filled me in on what was happening. So the propaganda, and it was propaganda that we had been... I remember being taken to movies at Huntley. I went to Huntley College.
Yeah.
To the Huntley, to a movie there about the Holocaust and about how Israel was being created from the people.
This is the curly part of it, is that the Holocaust was an appalling thing that really did happen.
Exactly.
And some kind of... I don't know, something needed to be done about that, but somehow it's turned into this other thing. The idea of a place where Jews could be safe is, of course, that's a good idea. But it's not, but it's turned into something else, and I don't think many people in Israel right now feel very safe as well.
I don't think many people in, because their propaganda is so powerful. Most Israelis have never met Palestinians.
Yeah, well, I mean, the one thing I too want to say about war, it's a rule of war that propaganda is, the governments are always doing lots of propaganda to their own populations during any war, anywhere, there's always it's wall-to-wall propaganda. So we should just expect that. It's not a controversial thing to state that there's propaganda.
No, but it's not just in war. It's right, like the propaganda goes right through through the education system all the way through, and when they are recruited into the Israeli army as well, it continues.
Of course, yeah. Well, an army has to have propaganda, otherwise its soldiers aren't going to go and fight.
Yeah, and the language that's used again about Palestinians is that they're not human, you know.
Mm.
And that's part of the reason why I'm still active in the struggle, is that I feel that it's a really just struggle, and I always have done.
So that was the 70s you were in university.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that was during the Vietnam War, right? So we were very preoccupied with stopping the Vietnam War at that time. That was our Palestine genocide, really.
That's, I mean, it's a long time to be fighting for a cause and not having a lot of, do you feel like there's not been any success? Has there been successes on the way?
I think there has been a shift with the devastation and with the death toll that's happening right now.
Yeah.
But my concern is the world attention is very short.
Yeah.
And that when there is finally a ceasefire, then Palestine will again go under the radar. That's why I think it's really important that people become informed about it. And as citizens of Aotearoa, we have a responsibility to make sure our voice is heard in the international, in the international forums around Palestine. And this, I mean, 90% of Palestinians have been displaced from their homes. And some of them have been moved 8 or 9 times in this war. So, and I just, one of the things that keeps me awake at night is the trauma that the children have experienced. They've been bombed for 10 months now, you know, and little kids now who've lost both parents, they've lost their whole families.
Even if there was a ceasefire today and genuine peace broke out, we're still talking about another generation before. Well, a couple of generations before the effects of the war really dissipate.
Because it'll be even more than that, really. Yeah. I mean, people still talk about the impact of colonialism on Maori families.
Mm.
And you know, we've just had the abuse and care report come out, right? And so... unless there is a really international and united effort to rebuild Palestine and rebuild it for Palestinians and not for Israelis, that's the fear that I have, is that the Palestinians will again, there'll be another Nakba and the remaining Palestinians will be evacuated.
It feels like there is now. I mean,
They can't. They can't go anywhere, right?
From what I've seen, in some ways I try not to watch, but from what I've seen, it feels like the Israeli leadership is somewhat unhinged at this point. That, it's not. They're making decisions that sane people wouldn't. Or people who, well, I guess if you've othered the Palestinians from their point of view. They're subhuman or not human, then I guess all sorts of things become possible. But even that, we don't go and kill dogs willy-nilly like that. Like, there's more to it than just that.
I think Israel's sowing its seeds of its own destruction,
That is actually what I'm quite worried about.
Mm.
Like, because we'd like I know at least one person in Israel who was here in Raglan, and I can see from their Facebook feed the propaganda that they're getting through Facebook is just really wild.
Yeah.
Quite makes my eyes stand out on stalks. But I fear for him and his family, because with the attitudes that are coming, these kind of apocalyptic attitudes, I don't see how it can end well. And do they not have designs on outside of the current Israeli borders as well, thinking that that should also be part of the Jewish homeland?
Yes, I do. I understand that land in Gaza is already for sale in Israel.
But also beyond, because there's I'm thinking mentally the map of Israel, yep. And there's the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, but outside of that as well.
Oh yeah, well, they'd like to get back to the sewers as well, and you know the sewers and
is that
the
in Jordan?
Sinai. No, the Sinai territory in Egypt.
The Egyptians might have something to say about that.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did in the 1967 war. Yeah.
Yeah. See. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're not going to solve that here.
But the movie, if yes. people are. I think it's really. I know I've talked with people and they say, "Oh, it's so far away and it's so bad. I just don't want to know about it." But I think it's in our common humanity to actually do something about it, and we can do things. We can boycott Israel the same way that we boycotted South Africa,
And that was successful.
That was successful, yes. So and it is being successful in the Middle East, like Turkey, now has just blocked Coca-Cola going in there.
Right.
McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken are being boycotted in the Middle East and by Indonesia as well. And that's having an immense impact on those companies. And SodaStream has been here in New Zealand as one of the products that comes from Israel, from the occupied territory that is being boycotted here. So I think, you know, you can have a look at the labels on what you're buying and not buy from Israel, not buy from countries that are providing the military wherewithal for the Israelis.
Well, that's another important thing too, isn't it? Yeah. The US is spending billions of dollars. It has
US
always spent.
And Germany and UK. You know, they're supplying Israel with military hardware.
Is there a website or something where there's a list of these places, boycott
thing? They go through to Palestine Solidarity, which is an organization that John Minto has been involved in for years and years and years, and it has all kinds of ways in which you can be involved in support for Palestine and find out about, you know, where rallies are happening and what events are happening.
Yeah. I do think that thing of putting pressure on, like, the big corporates, because they've got the power, they can pick up the phone to the White House and say, hey, I want to talk, and they'll get listened to.
And Starbucks is another one, you know. The CEO has funneled an incredible amount of money into the Israeli occupied, with the territories that Israel has occupied on the West Bank.
Right. Okay.
And now all of these boycotts are having an impact, as they did in South Africa. And there's an academic boycott also against Israel academics, and that's having an impact as well. So that kind of isolation, and that's where we need to put pressure on our own government ministers to also be part of that international. We're on the wrong side of history on this one as a country.
Yeah, like all our governments have been.
All the governments in the West have been,
But regardless of whether it's National or Labour leading the coalition.
Well, Labour's was a little more, but the Greens and Te Pāti Māori have been the ones who've been supportive of the Palestinian cause.
Usually the Labour Party will wring their hands but actually do nothing constructive. That's kind of what I expect these days. They look like they care, but they didn't really.
Yeah, well, they
do much.
So we can put pressure on our own MP, but also on Minister of Foreign Affairs, and also we took in a lot of people from Ukraine and to live here in New Zealand, but there has been no equivalent program for people with Palestinians living in New Zealand to have their family members be allowed to come here. They haven't been allowed to get visas to come here. So that's another place where we can put pressure on. And the one area that I think that we can also put pressure on is that young Israelis are allowed to come here with a 2-year free visa to work.
Yeah,
a lot of those young Israelis have been in the Israeli army and have committed atrocities in Gaza. Now, do we want those young people in our country right now?
Well, if you're looking at a South Africa-style isolation program boycott, then certainly that question has to be part of it, doesn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, and there's also a thing for investors. There's a program out there as well.
Yes.
And that includes our KiwiSaver, so we're all kind of investors.
Yes, and superannuates as well. Some of the superannuation fee was also – I think that has now been divested.
Out of Israeli companies.
Out of Israeli companies. But even the University of Victoria, where I was at recently, some of their money was invested in is through their companies that they invest in.
Which you would expect normally, like the whole investment thing, it's just like a spider's web across the world. So some of it is going to end up in Israel. So there is.
Unless you're in invest ethically, you can do that.
Yeah, the ethical investment. Yep. There's an ethical KiwiSaver.
Yep, yes.
And there's all those options are out there.
Yes, there are. You have to do a bit of digging because they're not right up front. But and the other thing is, I think people need to be aware of where they're getting their source material about what's going on in Gaza.
This is so hard.
Search it out. Well, Al Jazeera is a pretty good source for what's happening, even though their journalists are not allowed by Israel to be in Gaza or the West Bank. What they've done is they're using local people. So you have local people who are telling what's going on there.
There's a journalist, a woman, she's probably in her 30s, who's been to the West Bank, and she talked about watching the settlers there raiding, like these are civilian people raiding Palestinian homes and just kicking them out.
Yeah. And burning them. Their houses have been burnt and burnt alive.
I mean, this is the stuff that makes your hair stand on end, that's considered normal.
Yep.
That's okay to do that.
Yes.
And so somehow she got into the West Bank and was able to observe that. I can't remember her name. It'll come back to me later. But she's the kind of journalist who's the one who goes to the places and actually sees it with her own eyes to report back.
Yes.
So it is happening a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Her name will come back to me later. I promise I'll let people know if I can.
Yeah, it is. It's because Israel has prevented international journalists from going into Gaza or the West Bank.
Of course, if there's atrocities happening, they're going to do that, aren't they?
Yeah.
So anyway, the film.
The film is on at 7 o'clock. Wednesday night, $10 donation, cash at the door only.
Yep. Or you can donate more if you want.
And you can donate more and it'll go for medical aid to Gaza.
Okay, and so that's, at the old school, 7 o'clock, and it's called Where Olive Trees Weep, and people could probably find trailers for that online, I imagine.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and it's a documentary about the history and current situation.
No.
Current up to the 7th of October.
Before that,
yeah. Is it 7th released. Of October? Was that the date?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, so it was before that. So if you've just, with the current atrocities, discovered what's happening over there, there's a whole story leading up to that as well. That will fill you in, and it's not a story that is getting told in our national media.
No, it's not.
Normally, yeah, no. Which is a bit of a problem as well. But this will.
And even the demonstrations, which are quite big in New Zealand, and they're not even getting covered at all by
no. In actual fact, who was the cartoonist who got fired from the Herald for making what was viewed as an anti-Israeli?
Oh, really?
Malcolm Evan? No. I can't remember anyway. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he was, because there's a lot of pressure put on by the Israeli government or someone about this cartoon he'd made.
Yeah, there's a strong Zionist lobby throughout the Western world.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I haven't got time to look that up. Time to go. Thank you for coming in, Gillian Marie.
Thank you very much for having me, Aaron, and thank your listeners for listening.
Okay.
And I hope to see them on Wednesday night at the old school.
7 o'clock, folks. Thanks for coming in.